Welcome back to the news podcast for the Daily Aztec. I'm Caitlin Nguyen, the current social media editor.
And I'm Sarah Ron, a Daily Aztec contributor.
And here are the top news stories of the week.
Whoop whoop, let's go.
I guess let's jump into it. The top stories, obviously. We all know AS elections are still happening right now.
Yes, they're happening.
Do you know who you're voting for yet, Sarah? We can't endorse anyone, but do you have an idea?
Right, of course. You know, I have no idea yet, but I am doing my research, and there are a lot of good options to choose from.
Yeah, I feel like we had a lot more candidates this time around. I remember last AS elections last year, some people were running unopposed, but this time we even had maybe like three candidates for, say, like university affairs, which is unusual.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, let's talk debates.
Okay.
I definitely think we had a lot more people tune in this time. I think the first night, we had about 100 people at our peak, and the last night, the presidential debate, we also had around 100 during our peak.
Oh, wow, that's a great turnout.
Yeah, do you think that's a good sign? You think San Diego State students are wanting to get a little bit more involved with elections this year?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's really great because this is my first semester. This is my first time ever witnessing AS elections. And from what I heard, since last year it was all online, there was no audience. There was no student participation. So it's really nice that this semester, even though it's all online, there really is more student participation and more student input.
Yeah, for sure. I like to think that we're all, I don't know, I guess you'd say Zoom savvy and virtual life savvy. So this debate probably went smoother than last year's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think of some of the topics that our two presidential candidates touched on, both Bella Marlino and Ashley Tejada? They talked a lot about, you know, COVID-19 policy and the transition back, mental health, affordable housing. I don't know, what's your main concern, Sarah, for next semester, I guess you'd say?
Yeah, they touched on very important topics that are obviously important to students right now.
Yeah.
Getting an idea, the top priority hearing from candidates is making sure that we have a safe transition back to campus. Which I totally agree with, because obviously there are some students who probably might need hybrid learning. We're talking about coming back in the fall. So from the candidates that I've talked to and, you know, hearing their side, they're really advocating for a safe, smooth transition back, which I am concerned about, that we do come back smoothly and safely. And for those who need a hybrid option, they have it. And we transition back into campus life.
Yeah, for sure. And like just hand in hand with that, they've also been talking a lot more about pushing for student accessibility to the COVID-19 vaccine. Obviously, you know, right now the vaccine's under EUA or emergency use authorization. So we can't require every student to take the vaccine. But that is nice that each candidate is prioritizing that.
Definitely. Yeah.
I also like to note that both of our presidential candidates are women this year. And that's, I feel like, I don't know how often that happens. I'm also a transfer student and I haven't been here as long as some other students, but I think that's definitely worth noting, right?
It's definitely something. Woman in power, am I right? It's really, really awesome. Go girls! Woo!
Yeah, we love to see it. We love to see it.
We do. We definitely do.
There was another hot topic in almost all of the debates was the contentious spring break decision.
Oh, yes.
Canceling spring break, that is.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a huge topic. That's a big deal.
Yeah, all the candidates really want to ensure that there's not a decision like that again.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see, you know, how they can ensure that. They talked a lot about promising that, but what are the steps that they can take to do that?
Yeah, I know. It's definitely a topic that's on the table because it is a big decision. And as much as candidates want to promise something, I'm sure that it's a very long process in order for things to be approved by people higher up.
Yeah, like in the university senate meetings.
So it's going to be interesting how they place it in front of them.
For sure.
I know when I was talking to a few candidates that they wanted to ensure that student voices are being heard. And for a big campus, there's obviously a lot of students, and a lot of them, they're not as politically savvy as the candidates who are running, you know?
Yeah, that's very true.
So it'd be great if they could get students who aren't into politics and their voices heard and them involved in the meetings. And you know, the whole good thing about it being online and it being on Zoom is that commuter students, for example, who can't be on campus when the AS meetings take place, they can attend via Zoom. So that's really cool. So it's going to be very interesting how these candidates play out, what they're going to do, and what's going to happen in the future.
That's true. I mean, this virtual life being on, you know, online and having everything on Zoom has made it more accessible to more people, from commuter students to students who, you know, work extra jobs and want to tune in later. It has been a good pro. But yeah, you're right, though, about the whole, not a lot of students know how university senate meetings go and how much vote each representative, vice president, and president has, actually. So yeah, I think that'd be a really good move, too, to make a lot of those candidates educate some of their voters and followers on how much vote and power, voting power that they actually have, how it all works, honestly, because it is a complicated system. I know all politics are, but even here, it's complicated. Yeah, so that's definitely something to look forward to.
When this comes out, make sure you did vote. If you did vote, good job. If you haven't voted, it's okay. There's always next time.
Yeah, just, you know, you don't complain about decisions if you didn't vote, because that's the only time we can really, you know, have some sway. But yeah, anyways, moving forward, other top stories. We recently just got a new vaccination site on campus, so we have another one now at Viejas Arena.
We did, and it's definitely going to open some doors for people who need to get the vaccine.
Yeah, in terms of our photo editor, Alexa Oslowski, she recently wrote the story, and Angela Kirsch, our multimedia editor, they did a whole story and video about our new vaccination site at Viejas Arena. So it's going to be open to the public, and I think this is exciting. It's definitely a good step towards making vaccines more accessible to, like, student workers and the San Diego community in general.
Definitely. It's very exciting.
Have you gotten your vaccine yet, Sarah?
I have, actually. I am half immune, as I call it.
Yeah, we love to see it. We love to see it.
So I qualified and I got it just last week. Have you gotten yours yet, Caitlin?
I have not yet, but I am planning to get it as soon as I can, because I do qualify as an editor and a student worker technically, but I'm living in a different county, so I have to be sure it meets with my county's regulations, honestly.
Right.
But which vaccine did you end up getting, Sarah?
I got the Pfizer.
Oh, okay. What was your experience?
I got Pfizer, so
everyone's experience was a little bit different. What was yours like right after getting the vaccine, the first dose?
You know, it's nothing different than getting a flu shot. I'm going to be honest with you. I know they talk about it like it's a big deal, but if you guys get your flu shots every year, it's no different than that. And I mean, obviously it depends on the nurse who gives it to you. The nurse who gave it to me was awesome. I barely felt anything. You know, my arm was sore, but it's no different than a flu shot. So I'm definitely going to encourage, if it's your turn to get it, definitely get it. You know, obviously this is a two-part system, so I have yet to report on what's going to happen in the second half of my immunity. But so far, things are going well. I have not grown a third arm, so I think we're okay.
I'm glad to hear. I'm definitely very pro-vaccine, and I get that there are some hesitation, but know that a lot of people have gotten it, and out of most of, like, the high majority of people who've gotten it haven't had, like, super adverse side effects. So don't be scared. Please do your part. I would like to see this pandemic be squashed as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And they're going to open with around 200 appointments every day, according to Alexa's article. The thing that makes this site different from the Cal Poly Center vaccination site, this one is open to the general public. Cal Poly Center is open just to SDSU students, faculty, and just members of that community. But they're both still based on the tiers. I know that's a little bit confusing, but the Viejas Arena site is open to the whole public and everyone in San Diego County. So keep that in mind.
Awesome, awesome.
I know everyone was really confused.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, but hopefully we clear it up for them.
Yeah, and then, okay, other top stories. I mean, I don't know if we're already over it, but we definitely had a lot of stories that are about to come out with the Atlanta shootings that happened last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's hard to talk about it because we already had another shooting, the Colorado shooting, just so close, not even a week after the Atlanta shootings. So
it's really upsetting.
I even seen a tweet that was like, now that things are all opening up again, it means mass shootings can occur again. And it just seems so,
yeah.
I don't know. If America's not dealing and grappling and struggling to deal with the pandemic, we're struggling to deal with mass shootings again. And it just makes me really sad, especially as a Vietnamese American woman. The Atlanta shootings hit home a lot for me, my friends, my community. And a lot of the sources I talked to for my story, they talked about it being a breaking point.
It is a breaking point, and hearing all the stories that I've heard surrounding this, I've heard from a lot of women, and it's really heartbreaking to hear how they say, I'm scared. And it's not because of COVID. It's because of what happened in Atlanta and being this ethnicity that they're scared to go out into the world. And it's so heartbreaking. And my heart goes out to all of you. I am thinking about all of you who are struggling. There are links below that you can donate and help. SDSU is also offering ways to help. So if you need help, definitely reach out for it. And I hope that you are all doing okay. There's also places that you can donate to, link below, so we can all help and support each other.
Yeah, Sarah. I mean, you know, we don't want to take away from those communities' voices, but allies are just as important during these tragic times. And knowing that our allies support us from all communities, you know, is really nice to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I know it was tough. We also just got over midterm season, and then to hear all of this, and you're right, for just women and minorities, Asian American women, specifically a PETA woman, to have to worry first about catching COVID when they go out, but now this as well. It's just, it is heartbreaking. And I don't want us to forget the conversations that this shooting did start, because it is important for us to keep having those uncomfortable conversations. And yeah, not only that, our reporter also, Patrick Doyle, also covered the San Diego rally for Stop Asian Hate. That was happening downtown San Diego on March 20th, this past Saturday. He also was happy. I remember he was texting me. He called me, actually, after the rally, and he said that he was happy from all the support. There was a lot of powerful stories, and there was no one heckling them, if you will, or being unsupportive, like people passing by the rally and the protesters.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a lot of encouragement and cheering is what he said. So I'm glad to hear that, because I know other protests can get out of hand and get some pushback.
True, true. But that's really how it should be.
Definitely. It should be like that for every I mean, I don't want there to be more protests. I don't want us to get to that point where that's the only time we have more change.
Right. But
yeah, we should always be showing up for every community, regardless of, you know, if you're absolutely a part of it or not.
Absolutely.
It just hits differently as a Vietnamese American woman. I just feel
understandable.
I just feel like we're finally having this conversation, and we should, you know. And don't get me wrong, I know that there's a lot of work to be done in the Asian community, and they're not perfect. And sometimes they can have their own racist, you know, anti-Black behaviors, but we can't write off a whole community for that. We have to still support them. And I don't like this whole oppression Olympics thing and comparing each struggle, each movement. We should all just be unifying regardless of our community and not comparing, because it's dividing us, and it's kind of counterproductive to what we're actually trying to achieve here. And I know for you, Sarah, it may be a little bit harder for you to speak on it. I know you're a white woman, but you are a woman, and we all have intersectionalities.
It is. But I am here to support, and I'm here to do everything that I can. And listening to your side of the story is so interesting. And I am so sorry that it took a shooting for these hard conversations to be had. You know, unfortunate circumstances that made these conversations heard. But here we are in 2021, masks on. COVID's still a thing, and we're trying to do what's right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm glad though that you're so open-minded and you want to always have these conversations, because I know for some people who aren't a minority, these conversations can make them uncomfortable. But I'm glad you're not one of those, and that's why we love to see it.
Very true, but these conversations need to happen. And if these conversations don't happen, then we can't make a change. You know, you guys deserve that, and it's important that we stand behind each other and we support each other and we try to make the world of 2021 a better place.
Yeah, for sure. I love to hear that. Words of solidarity, not just words of solidarity, but action. Solidarity in action. Sad that it took the shootings for us to have this protest when we've been having, over a year of violence against Asian Americans due to the scapegoating of the pandemic on them. I mean, I feel like, I guess, better late than never, but at the same time, I also feel. I don't know. I don't want to be jaded by it. I don't want to be mad at the timing, because I know that looking forward, things are going to get better for sure. Like, I feel like stuff's already changing in the community, and our generation is going to change stuff, honestly.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, there's always work to be done, but we're still doing the work. I just want to remind everyone, especially after the Colorado shooting on top of this one, to remind everyone to practice self-care. And it's okay to take a step back. And I know screen life and all that screen time on your eyes can be very draining, and classes can be draining, but don't be afraid to practice self-care right now, because these shouldn't be taken lightly. I know we've gotten desensitized to shootings in America, but we shouldn't take it lightly. And if you need to take a step back, don't feel guilty for it. It's not unproductive. It's healthy.
I totally agree with you, absolutely. And that's all that we have to say. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Production Night. Caitlin and I had a lot of fun recording this. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys all next week. Bye, guys.